Hannah and Bobby Morrison of Boha Tribe have connected with The Antidote. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. It's a joy to be here.
First things first, you have to explain the band name. How did you dream that up?
Actually, it's pretty simple. It's from the first two letters of our name. So his name is Bobby and I'm Hannah. So that's Boha. And then tribe is wherever we are, whoever we're with, the community we're gathering with to share music and do life and break bread together. That is our tribe in whatever season we're in.
Well, that's cool. So this is Boha, not Boa. So it's got nothing to do with snakes.
Right.
Right.
No,
nothing
definitely
to do with
not.
Snakes. So
the photos of Boha tribe show a whole gang of players. Who's involved in making the music?
Starting out, it was really just the duo, just the two of us making music. And we kind of always dreamed of having a team because we love different styles of instrumentation and everything. And we would pick up different musicians here and there and just kind of find them as we go. But since we've grown roots here in Texas, we've connected with, we've got a dobro player. His name is Jeff Grossman. He also writes and sings. We've got a guy playing fiddle, Alex Carisi. He's amazing. He also plays mandolin. And then you've got Ben Fenton that's on bass. There's a few others. Jeremy Teague plays keys with us sometimes. And we've got a kind of an assortment of drummers that we call on. But yeah, so that's kind of the tribe.
So you've told me about the band lineup, but we need the details of what's really important. The two of you are married, so we have to hear the love story. How did the two of you meet?
Oh, man. All right. I can start and she can kind of take it.
It's a pretty wild one.
Yeah, it's a good story. So, you know, when I was in my teen years and early 20s, I struggled with addiction and drugs and alcohol, in and out of rehab. So I ended up back home, kind of broken, strung out, and I overdosed. And the EMT driver, he was a believer. And he knew about this program that someone he knew had been through a program and it worked for them. And this guy, he went out of his way to contact my parents and say, "Hey, I know a place your son could go that maybe would help him." And so EMT driver in a small town runs into this kid more than one time and his heart goes out to me. So he connects me with this family and, I'm sitting in my mom's living room and in walks Hannah, my wife, and her family to kind of basically have an intervention. Obviously, I didn't know them at this point. I think I was 21 years old, probably no clean time at that point, just trying to hang on, sitting on my mom's couch. And yeah, they walk in and just share the love of God with me and offer me, say, "Hey, you know, you can come out to our program." And I didn't go right then, but a couple weeks later, I went, and that's really the place and the people that I needed to meet to come into freedom, to build a walk with the Lord. It was a long process through that. We fell in love, you know, over the next 10 years. So,
yeah, it was definitely a beautiful journey. So, yeah, our family, we had a farm that kind of organically formed into an outreach ministry. Basically, folks who were kind of down and out needed a family, needed a place to stay, needed a place to heal. We turned our farm into a place that allowed people to come for a time and a season and connect. And we had a old barn that we turned into a men's bunkhouse, and we turned our family farmhouse into the women's house. And so young moms with kids, people struggling with homelessness, some people coming from addiction, all of these different things, basically anyone who just needed that love and that space to grow and to heal and find home.
Wow.
It was powerful. It was beautiful. You know, we had moments where we were sitting in the living room, you know, playing music for hours and sharing food around the table and doing life together. And so Bobby walked in from the place of brokenness he was into that. And he struggled for a few years with addiction and recovery. And at some point it clicked And he decided that instead of just kind of going back out into all of the things and creating his own, you know, path, that he would serve what served him. And so he became a part of what we were doing for many years. And then we traveled on the road with that ministry. And then everyone from that started kind of going different ways and kind of life things. And we felt like we weren't done yet, you know. And for 8 years, we were best friends. We always found ourselves in our travels with the larger group. The two of us would be talking to someone, you know, in a gas station parking lot that was broken and, you know, that asked for money, or that, you know, they just needed someone to hear their story or to love them. And so we always found ourselves in these situations where we were loving on the person in front of us. And mm-hmm. So we found that our value systems were connected. The growth in that area was about something deeper. And so, yeah, our love grew in that time and in that season. And in 2018, we got married, and we literally, as we were planning for our wedding, we were also fixing an old Airstream bus, planning the tour. And the day after our wedding celebration, we hit the road for the Breaking Bread wedding tour.
An Airstream bus. Isn't that a sweet ride?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Cool. It's a 1990, and it has
it's a classic
454. Couldn't pass a gas station, you know, but 454 on a Chevy Chass. It was fun. We still have it.
Yes, and we absolutely loved it. And so instead of buying a home when we got married, we decided we were going to buy that and travel and do life together on the road. And it has been an epic journey.
Well, you were chatting about love, so why don't we use that as a segue to get into your song, A Little More Love. And that tune says, "We got to let our love grow. Lord, we need your helping hand. I want to be good to my fellow man." Nowadays, you know, that isn't the way the world is working. Online, people seem to be on the attack rather than showing love.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. Yeah, that song was written right in 2020 when all the chaos kind of ensued. We had just come from a season of grieving in our lives where we had lost Bobby's sister, his stepdad, two really close friends, and then a few months later, his dad. Like, just a series of loss of a lot of people in our lives who were very near and dear to us. We were grieving, and right out of that season, it's like the whole world went into grieving in 2020. We wrote the song right in the middle of all of it. I can remember we came home one day. You know, we were taking a break from touring, obviously, with all that was going on. We walked in the door after a long day, and Bobby picked up the guitar like he always does. Then he went in and started picking. And I couldn't even walk out of the room. I just sat down and said, just keep playing. And then this song just was birthed. Yeah. A little more love from that season. It was like a cry of everything that had been on us for months, for our nation and for this world and for humanity, you know, for a connection and a love and a value to be restored to humanity. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should tell the two of you that The Antidote is really all about the diversity of music created by Christian artists. But Boha Tribe has taken that to a whole new level. I mean, your sound is Americana, it's folk, alternative, gospel, and a bit of country. Did you know that this would be your kind of sound when it all began?
You know, I don't think we did. I mean, when I first came into a life change from the struggle I had with drugs and everything, and then into, okay, I'm now walking with the Lord, I'm thinking different. I struggled to find music that worked for me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tried, and what was currently on the radio, it didn't pull me in deep. You know, I could listen to a few songs here and there. I found a few bands that I enjoyed, but, you know, for the most part, I was like, man, where's my music? And so a little later on, I started to feel this call and this purpose, like I'm supposed to make that music. Obviously, we want to make music that's, you know, true to our pure expression, but also it was like this call to make music for the Bobby that was just coming in and needed to find something he could connect with. Yeah. You know, that person that grew up the way I did, listening to Allman Brothers, The Grateful Dead, you know, all that type of stuff, going to live shows constantly. That was my lifestyle pre, you know, my life change. But no, I didn't see dobro and fiddle being a part of it. You know, that kind of does bring a little Texas country in there.
And for me, it's always been about that pure expression and that genuine release of who we are through our music. We always share, like, it was a part of Bobby's journey into freedom from, like, addiction and some of the things that he walked through in life. But he also helped me walk into a freedom of expression in a greater way and gave me that permission just to fully be who I was. And as we mm-hmm. would write songs together, that developed over the years. And so I never really knew what it would sound like, but I knew it was going to be genuine. And I knew that what we created would be authentic. And that's kind of our message everywhere we go when we travel to different artists and individuals, is that, you know, the world needs to hear your voice. It doesn't need another Bobby and Hannah. It doesn't need another echo of what was, but it needs to hear your story, your voice, who you are. You know, be original, be who you were made to be, because the world's missing out if it doesn't experience you in the fullness of who you were created to be.
Talking about voices, Hannah, we got to talk about your voice. You are incredible. You have such a huge range. You got so much power. You let it all out.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I've had a lot of moments in life where expressing who I was hard. But in music, I can fully release every sound, every heartbeat, every heartache, every joy. It just all comes out when I'm singing. I, you know, it's kind of uncontrollable, and I love it that way.
Yeah.
That it's real and it's raw. And
honestly, her voice, something new happens live every time. And so, you know, capturing it in the studio, that was probably the hardest part of recording the album.
Yeah.
You know, not that she couldn't do it, but she couldn't do it the same. And also just being in a live atmosphere, mm-hmm. you know, is where we thrive.
Something else about your music is the huge length of some of your songs. I mean, it's great, but it kind of limits how many of your songs I can actually air tonight. Finally Free, it runs 7.5 minutes. There's no interest in putting out a short track.
Oh, you know, I think we got one. Love is the Language is probably about maybe 4 minutes. You know, the thing is, we can do radio edits, and we're happy to do that. But, you know, we've got listeners that want something more. You know, they want to go on a journey. And what we tried to do is to not necessarily play the songs in the studio just like it would be live, but kind of give you a glimpse of what you would get live, you know. And live, our songs are going to be longer. You know, we might not even start the first verse for a good minute, because we just want to find that pocket and that groove. And hey, man, let's just start off with a dobro solo just because it's going to be fun. And then we'll go into the song, you know. And
so, for sure,
that's really what we intended to do, you know.
You know something? I forgot about another style that Boha Tribe brings in. Higher Places even has a rap section.
Yes, it
does. Now, that song has an interesting verse. Coming back all the way from my last lesson learned, reciting all the words of the answers that I've learned, determined to learn to use the wings I found on my back, moving on to higher things where faith states the facts. That's what I need explaining about. What kind of facts is your faith stating?
Oh, well, you know, rather than living by visual circumstance, it's kind of talking about, referring to like stumbling a little bit and the lessons learned through stumbling, but allowing our faith to speak louder than our circumstance, or louder than the things in our life that are intimidating us to move forward. That's kind of what I'm talking about there.
So you're wanting your faith to combat the negatives.
Absolutely.
I think that brings us back to A Little More Love too, because it's probably truly the only way to express that love in a greater way is when we're not bogged down by seeing the fruit of the natural circumstances. But faith calls us higher. you know, into a deeper place of love and truth and compassion beyond the things that we may find ourselves surrounded by on a daily basis in the society we live in.
Yeah, you know, our faith is not contingent upon how things are really going, but our faith really determines our interior world. We don't always have it together and perfect and by any means, but if we can steward peace, we can still be at peace, and maybe we can infuse the atmosphere with that peace. You know, I think that's when our faith speaks louder than our condition.
Boha Tribe has the song River, and that one is definitely out of the norm for you guys, with it being an instrumental.
Yeah.
Since there's no lyrics, does it still tell a story?
Definitely. I don't know if you noticed, but it starts with our son River's heartbeat. That's
what the intro is. Yes. Now I get
that's
it.
That's the ultrasound of his heartbeat. Yeah, I mean, just an amazing time in our life when we found we were going to have our son River.
Yeah, so when I was pregnant with our son River, we were traveling, doing music, and then about a month before time to have him, we headed out to East Texas with our friends Mike and Vicky over at Music Springs. We've done a music festival there for several years called On Earth. So yeah, we closer to the time of having River, we pulled our Airstream into Music Springs, and we gave ourselves a month of resting and refreshing and preparing for our son. And so that instrumental project, the song River and the rest of the instrumental, were in that season of waiting, and we would go into our Airstream and hit record and see where it would take us.
Yeah, everything was recorded on the laptop I'm using right now. And, you know, we just recorded it all on the bus, and then everything except for the drum kit. Obviously, we didn't have room for a drum kit in there. But it was just the two of us playing every instrument. You know, I learned how to play keys just to be able to put some keys on that. And then we borrowed a YWAM drum kit and a music space to go record drums one night. The whole season was awaiting our son, and these were the sounds that were coming out of us.
You have to tell me and be honest, did you give River songwriting credits?
No, not yet. Now, his name's on it. Like, if he hears it, he's like, that's my song.
He knows it. Know. He connects with it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, another one that brings in a different sound is on Praise, and that's got this gospel feel. But, Hannah, it also puts an emphasis on your awesome flute playing. Have you always been into the flute?
Yeah, you know, when I was in middle school, someone gifted me a flute, and I started playing there for a couple years. I learned a few notes and things. Then I moved out of state and went to homeschooling, put the flute down for a long time. And then when we started that kind of organic grassroots outreach on our farm, different drifters and musicians and people would come in. I decided to pull it back out one day and would just sit with the different folks and play. And I learned to play by ear. It just was a part of me, you know? Yeah, it's kind of like my voice too, when I have that freedom to just soar on the flute. It's just an expression that's released. Yeah. So I do the regular Western flute that you see in orchestras and things. Definitely don't play it that style. I play it through guitar effects pedals. But I also do the Native American flute as well.
I'm going to pull a line out of context here. The song Praise mentions dancing to the beat of a different drum. That's also true about the sound of your band. But you got to tell me, does it pay to be different from everybody else?
Yes, in all the ways that matter.
You know? In all the ways that matter. You know, totally. Yeah, I heard somebody say one time, if you're creating art and you begin to think about what people want, you're now creating commerce.
Ooh, that's a good line.
I didn't come up with it, so I can't take credit. But it stuck with me. If you're creating art, just do that. Do what flows. Do what you love. You know, make something that you love to enjoy, whether you're painting it, you love to walk, you love to look at it. If you're playing it, you love to listen to it. But as soon as you begin thinking about what are they going to think and all these different things, and obviously, I mean, we can't help but have some idea of how will people receive it, but still just the freedom to just be free with it. We've tried to live by that, especially with this album.
And oftentimes than not, I think people connect with that in a greater way because people are searching for something real. They're searching for authentic. And when they get a taste of that, they're like, oh, this is what I've been searching for, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, you know. But also, I feel like it gives others permission to step out and be who they were made to be and release the sound that they were made for and to be authentic. And man, isn't it so vital in the life and the world that we live in today, where everything's a trend and everything's, you know, isn't so vital that we find authenticity and, you know, give others the permission to walk in that as well.
I agree 100%. I should tell you that the first time I heard a song from Bohat Tribe, it reminded me of something that came from the hippie Jesus People movement of the 60s. Have you guys ever been into any of that stuff?
You know, we personally were not for a long time, but through the years of sharing music and doing life, we've definitely had that communicated to us in a lot of different arenas. And so because of that, it did spark an interest in like, oh, what was going on during that season? Because everyone refers to that when they hear our music for the first time or when they, you know, experience like a week with us while we're on the road or, you know, whatever it may be, our on the road community that we meet in different states. So from there, yes, we've kind of tapped into like a little bit of what that was. And we have friends who have roots in that movement as well. And
yeah, I got a few love song records sitting right here in the living room. I've got an Andre Crouch record, you know, but I didn't find out about that music until we were already doing this, you know what I mean? And just kind of dove into it for the fun of it.
So it's been cool. People connect it to that. I think it's meaningful to individuals who were in that time frame. And
speaking of that, I think we're going to Jesus People USA
up in Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, that kind of has ties to that movement, I guess you would say.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, Jesus People USA, and that's where it's concentrated now. It's a big deal in Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to be there in July. They saw we were going to be at Audio Feed and heard Taste and See, and we're like, hey, you would have fit right in at Cornerstone. Would you like to come to Jesus People? Yeah, that was a cool email to read, and we're looking forward to that.
Oh, good for you. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's time for my number one pick from Bohat Tribe. It's a perfect song, and there's not many of those out there. Now, the chorus on Taste and See says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. His love is a river that never runs dry. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His love is a river, and it's coming down." Are there ever moments where you wonder where God is?
Oh, there's definitely moments in our lives that we reach for Him and we feel dry. Obviously, taste and see that the Lord is good. It comes from Psalms 34. It's a verse written by David. And in that moment in his life, it wasn't a pretty time that he was experiencing. He was actually running for his life. And that danger, that hardship, just as our grief and the struggle in our life, it positioned him to lean into God's goodness and taste and see. And so just like it did with him, it's like that with us in our driest times, or our times where we are looking for him, wondering where he is. But I think we're being positioned to taste and see in those hardest moments who God is, and that he is indeed chasing us and he is coming down. He's pouring out on us.
So that song was actually written during one of the greatest seasons of grieving in our life, where we had so much loss and we learned to grieve and to worship at the same time. In 2019, when Bobby lost his sister and all of those people that were close to us in our life, it was a week before Christmas. Two people passed that week. Then what would have been the year anniversary of all that loss, the following year in 2020, we were able to share with our family that I was pregnant with our son, River. And so it was like hope coming from the ashes, like new life. And when we were live and I moved to share this story, oftentimes I'll say, if you can imagine a forest that's been burnt up and charred, right? And all you see is black ash everywhere. And then you see this small sprig of life coming up from the ash, this small seedling. It's so powerful. And it's equally as beautiful as the forest was, because it represents hope and a future. And so taste and see that he is good in those hardest moments.
Was it difficult for you to create music in a time where you're grieving?
It definitely was. I remember a time I was trying to write basically about the grief. I was trying to write about the things I was feeling, and nothing was coming. You know, I felt like I needed to be able to express and release something, because as an artist, you can't go too long without creating or, you know, having that channel, that outlet. And so I was working at it, and I kind of felt like I was led to, hey, don't write about your grief. Write about God's goodness. Write about something different than what you're actually going through right now. Mm-hmm. Because if you just stay there, you'll just kind of stay in that. But if you write about something you're heading towards, you'll be able to climb out. And we did. Yeah, it was like his wisdom to lead me to do that was stronger than me being able to kind of express my grief, if you will.
And speaking about creating, are you guys going to promise me that there's more coming from Boha Tribe?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of songs, you know, that haven't been recorded. So we're working on music for sure all the time.
I don't know if we'll ever really be able to record them all, but because there's so many already and new songs are birthed every month, you know, just at different times. It in and of itself is a river. But yes, there's definitely more to come.
Great news. Bobby and Hannah of Boha Tribe have been here with The Antidote. Guys, I love this talk. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for your questions. I love the way, when I realized that you dug deep into the lyrics and you asked intentional questions like that. I mean, I don't know how else you do an interview, but when I kind of realized the way you did it, I was like, yeah, I'm really excited about this, because this is going to be fun, you know? So thank you for doing that. And thank you for highlighting and just loving on the songwriters that you do. I think it's great.
Well, I appreciate that.